powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
This is Bump and Stacy
on Seattle Sports Station.
Powered by Kitsap Credit Union. Streaming through the Seattle Sports app and at seattlesports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Michael Bumpus and Stacy Rost.
Here we go now.
How do you build a Super Bowl team? Like a super easy question everyone knows the answer to, right, Bump? I mean, there's like
easy
one answer. I know it, but do you? You know what I mean? Like, I know the answer. I'm like really smart with football, so it's an easy question for me. But you know, for other people like yourself, you know, it's tough thinking of the answer to building a Super Bowl team. One thing you got to consider, though, Bump, is where you start to add your quarterback. Quarterback, most important position on the field, one of the most important positions in all of sports. And we are seeing in this weekend's games some very different approaches to team building. So let's start with the route that you think may be most feasible for the Seahawks. And is it the same as the one you think is like the best approach?
Well, we can look at both AFC and NFC championship games.
Yeah.
And we can say on one side, you got the best guy in the game, and he's getting paid in Pat Mahomes.
Yep.
And word on the street is, and data says, that you don't win with your quarterback getting paid as much money as Pat Mahomes is. On the other side, you got like the people's champion in Brock Purdy. To where he's probably the cheapest player on that roster that hasn't been drafted or that was drafted. Everyone else, if you're a free agent, you're probably cheaper. And they're getting it done over there. So what's the difference? With the Niners, you acquire talent. You lose for a while. You acquire talent. You get Bosa. You get Fred. You trade for Trent. You draft Ufungo, becomes a Pro Bowler. You draft Debo, Brandon Ayuk. You bring over Christian McCaffrey. So with them, they're like, look, we are going to be garbage for a while, and then we're also going to take big chances on some of these big names. Throw a quarterback in there. All right, they did draft up or move up in the draft to get Trey Lance. Didn't work out. He gets hurt. You did trade for Jimmy Garoppolo a few years back. He takes you to a Super Bowl. But right now, you're depending on a rookie quarterback to get you there, and he's doing a great job showing that he can do it. So to me, the best way to build a football team, I think you have to look at, one, what do you have? What have you inherited? Because a lot of coaches, unless you're the first ever coach of an organization, you're inheriting a lot.
Yep.
Like, what's on the roster right now? So you have to look at the roster and say, what's the strength of my team? And I'm using the Seahawks, for example. I look at the Seahawks and I go, what's the strength of their team? It's the offense right now. It's the offense. You have a quarterback who is past his prime, or maybe just reached his prime. I mean, first-time Pro Bowler. Age-wise, as a quarterback, he might be in his prime right now slightly on the back end of this thing. But that's the strength of your team is the offense. Look at the defense and say, okay, I have to rebuild that. I have to rebuild that. So there are several ways to do this. You rebuild the defense, or you stack this defense, and you deal with a transitional quarterback. Or you have everything in place already, and you ride this rookie contract. Or you have the best player in the game. You pay him.
Simple, right?
And you keep building around him. So there's no one answer for this. I think the best coaches, the best GMs assess their situation and say, this is what we need to get to the next level. For the Seahawks, personally, it's sticking with a transition quarterback, drafting a rookie or bringing a younger guy in to develop, and taking care of this defense. Because skill-wise, on offense, you're good to go.
What about people who say, Bump, you can't win a Super Bowl if you're paying your quarterback 20% of your salary cap?
I really want Pat Mahomes to win it just so we can stop saying that.
Why is it? Is it a phrase that bothers you, or is it something where you feel like in your gut that you don't believe it? Or like, how do you feel about just in general when people say it?
I feel like most of the time they're going to be right. But I also feel like I love when things happen that aren't supposed to happen. Right. We look at data and the numbers and all that stuff. Pat Mahomes is not supposed to win another Super Bowl because he's no longer on his rookie contract and he's getting
exceeding
paid
20%.
Yeah. I just want to see it happen. So there's an argument for that argument, because when people say that, I'm like, yeah, you're right.
Right.
You're probably right. We've never seen it happen before. And it's not likely that it continues to happen. Pat Mahomes is just a special type of dude. But I love that there are different ways to be successful, because in anything, I mean, look at you and me, our paths to where we are today on the Bump and Stacey show.
Yeah.
Totally different paths.
One of us was an incredibly talented athlete, and the other one was you.
Exactly. Exactly. One has a double major, you know.
Right.
One did what he had to do to get that piece of paper. You know what I'm saying? So I like it because I like it for the sake of argument,
yeah.
Because I love going back and forth with people in our texts or whatnot. But there's no one solid way. You need great coaching. That's one for sure.
Yep.
You need to have great coaches.
You need a great defense. We know that. Like, it's like people who say defense wins championships. Well, we've seen teams, Kansas City is a recent example, that actually beat one of the best defenses in football with a defense that was not the best. But it also wasn't that simple. They beat them because they had an exceptional offense, an exceptional talent at quarterback, exceptional weapons, and a defense that could get to the quarterback. Like, their defense gave up a lot of yardage, but wasn't horrible. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, they were able to do one thing really well, which was get sacks, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
I'm with you, man. Like, when I think about how to build a team, the ideal way to me is to get your most expensive talent, not only the best, but the cheapest. So it's not just, oh, we have a rookie quarterback that's just okay. It's, oh, we have Joe Burrow and he's on a rookie contract. I wonder if the correlation, spending is part of it. It's a salary cap in this league and you have less money to spend, right? If the Seahawks could go out and overspend their salary cap, I'm sure they would to be able to fix this defense. I wonder, though, if outside of just salary cap constraints, another reason that quarterbacks who are making 20% or more of the salary cap haven't won Super Bowls is because those teams are typically good. And when you're good for a long time, you don't get your shot at number one overall, number two overall, number three overall. Like, I wonder if that's part of it too, right? Is like, you have your guy, you get to a divisional round, you get to a wild card round, you get to a conference championship, maybe you keep losing, and you don't get another shot at that elite cheap talent.
Yeah, you know what happens when you win? Guys get paid everywhere.
Yes, everyone wants
not just
money.
A quarterback, your linemen, your linebackers, your receivers, your running back. Everybody gets paid. And at the end of the day, this isn't college football. Guys realize that their window to get this money is so small in the NFL that loyalty's out the window. Thank you for the opportunity. Mm-hmm. We've won a lot of games together, but now it's time for me to take care of me and my family. So that's what happens as well. I think we have to factor that in. And then you're right. You don't get to reload with young top talent. Now you got to go out there. You got to find those diamonds in the roughs, those guys who are on their second contract. It didn't really work out with the team they were with, but they're good enough to still be in this league and hope that you can tap into something that other coaching staff mm-hmm. wasn't able to tap into. There's so many moving parts when it comes to a football team in general. And then you throw in success and failure and money and incentives. Like, things start to change rapidly. That's what we saw with the Seahawks.
Yeah,
man, it was so much kumbaya for 3, 4 years, 5 years, and then you know what? Guys start getting paid. Having success, and relationships change.
I'll tell you what happened too. The last part, relationship changes. I fully believe that this locker room and something in the locker room fractured after Super Bowl 49.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think they continued to be a really competitive team and a team of guys who really cared about each other, and there are lots of great relationships and there was lots of belief still in the program. But I am of the belief, and I don't know what can change my mind, I am of the belief that something changed in that locker room after. And full disclosure, I started covering in 2015, the offseason immediately following that, so I don't have the 2013 offseason to compare it to. So this is my opinion for this opinion as an outsider. Again, I didn't start covering until that offseason following 49. But I think that it's not only is it incredibly difficult to get to and win a Super Bowl, but once you win, there's another battle, which is how you win again, right? Like, I feel like it's one of my favorite conversations. Like, how do you get to it? How do you build the right team? How do you get back to winning? And how do you sustain success? And I think that what sometimes is lost, and that's why we're talking about it right now, is that sometimes it's hard to predict who's going to do it. It's like, I don't know. How did this team get the best team? They were bad for a long time and drafted well. How did this team get the best team? They stumbled into the best quarterback we've seen since Tom Brady. Like, you can't plan for those things.
Nah.
You know?
It's But and that's why it's so hard. When's the last time we've seen a back-to-back Super Bowl champions?
The Patriots.
I almost said Seattle. Oh, no.
0304.
It's the Patriots.
0304. It's been a while.
Yeah.
I remember growing up watching basketball. The Lakers won 3 in a row. The Spurs win 2.
Let me tell you Detroit what. Jay-Z and Beyonce two. Had just become official. That's how long it's been. They got 3 kids.
Like, I'm saying, it's so hard to do because there's so many pieces. In the NBA, you just put 2 or 3 ballers together, surround them with a couple dudes.
Yeah.
You got a chance.
Yep.
You got a chance. And in the NFL, you need offense, you need defense, coordinators get paid, assistant coaches get promoted. You're constantly trying to recreate something. And that's what the 12s have kind of fallen into here, is you're constantly trying to recreate the Legion of Boom days, when it's like, no, that's not it. You'll never recreate that again. And to me, that shows, again, I'm going back to Pete Carroll, how impressive this year was for me, because it's like, all right, you can't recreate the Legion of Boom. Your franchise quarterback is gone.
Yep.
Geno Smith steps in. You find a way to get him to perform. That alone shows you how hard it is just to stay afloat in the NFL.
Yep.
Now, there are some teams set up for the long run right now. I'm a believer in Cincinnati now. I think they're in for the long run, at least for the next 2 or 3 years until Burrow gets paid. The Chiefs are set up for the long run as long as they have Pat Mahomes. And the Niners can throw dang near any quarterback in there, it seems like, as long as they listen to Shanahan, and they'll be good to go. But there's only about 4 to 5 teams a year who are going to be contenders in this short little window. We've only seen one time where there was a team who made a 20-year run.
Yeah.
And they had the greatest quarterback of all time on their team.
That's the thing. If you want to say, and this is a fair text from our guy Matt in Mercer Island, 206, says, I hate to say it, but what the Patriots were able to do, along with Brady at times making judicious concessions, is the gold standard for building a Super Bowl team. But even then, they had to get so much of it right. They were in a weak division. Like, tell me what team truly, for any extended period of time, challenged them. They had a head coach who exploited often, very meticulously and well, holes and rules. And, right, like, he was, and not only that, but cut ties with players the second that they weren't productive anymore. Like, made really, really tough decisions that's just hard to make. It is also hard to do that and maintain a healthy culture, but he was able to do it because it was, you're here to win, we're not here to be friends, get out if that's what you want, right? Mm-hmm. So you had to get people to buy into a culture that was incredibly stressful, and you had to have an owner that was constantly in support of you. And, like, it's not only that, but you had the best quarterback ever. The best quarterback to ever play, you were able to get. And he had, what, one season-ending injury? So he was able to stay healthy? Like, it's just, they had so much go right that is in part a product of them and in part a product of luck and chance and timing. Because that's just how it is sometimes.
And you know what also helped them? We got to give big ups to Giselle. She making all that money.
Yeah.
You know, Tom's
like,
this
bone structure getting $300 million.
I can take less. We're good at home.
Yeah.
I can take less. And people point to that too. They should take less. They should do what Tom Brady did. Why? Why? Everyone's not going to be Tom Brady. Everyone did not have the life that Tom Brady has.
Nope.
To where he is financially secure and going to play 20 plus years. No, this game is brutal and it's cutthroat.
Yep.
NFL, I'll never forget Charlie Fry. We're on the practice squad together for the Seahawks. He goes, Bump, get your money, man. And Charlie Fry was a starter in this league, I believe, with Cleveland for a while. He goes, get your money, man. NFL, not for long. No freaking loyalty. They will get rid of you right now. He goes, look at me. I was a starter. Now I'm on the practice squad. And I don't know. He just went on a rant one time. I was looking at him as Rick, like, all right, Charlie. Okay. I got you. But that's what the NFL does to people. That's what it does to athletes in this league, is you realize that it's a business. And the Patriots were a great business for a long time because they had a partner who was able to make a lot of sacrifices.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of these quarterbacks ain't able to make this sacrifice. Like, I wonder if Joe Burrow really going to turn down 50 something million when it's his time to get paid?
Absolutely.
Be like,
not.
Nah, I want to do this for the team.
Nope.
Nah.
Absolutely not.
Dude blew out his knee 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Like, it could be taken from you so quickly.
I say this and bring up this conversation. One, and I'm so glad you ended on that story, Bump, because sometimes the teams that win for a long time, it's like they chew you up and spit you out, kind of. Like, Brady got his money. How many guys were cut after a bad game? How many guys were cut when they still had some left after, giving everything they could to the organization? Now, that's the league. the Patriots aren't the only team to do that. But it is a hard road to get to a Super Bowl, and you never luck into one, but sometimes luck and chance and opportunity plays a factor in you getting there. And then you also have to have all the talent in the world, great players, guys willing to make sacrifice, a great culture. There's so much that plays into it. I love that we are going to see four teams that took kind of four different paths to get there.
Yeah.
I'm not kidding. I feel like we are getting two phenomenal games this weekend. I'm so excited. And I want to end on the note that I am bringing up this conversation not necessarily to say it's so hard to get to a Super Bowl, the Seahawks will never do it again, but to say that sometimes you never know when the tides are going to turn. And that with a couple moves, with some chance and luck, maybe they do sooner than we expect. I love this conversation.
Turning. They turn it right now,
Stace. That's right. Let's get to four down territory.
This is four down territory. Going inside the game. What former Seahawks and Coug wide receiver Michael Bumpus.
Third down, Bump. What are your thoughts on Aaron Rodgers blaming Big Pharma on the propaganda toward him not being vaccinated?
Aaron Rodgers reminds me of an only child. An only child who has never taken accountability for anything. Say Big Pharma was out to get Aaron Rodgers because he is a face that people recognize and he wouldn't get vaccinated. Okay, so be it. And he did the dance. He said, I'm immunized. Why is it so hard for me to say that word? Immunized.
It's a hard word to say.
Am
like
I saying that right?
Acceptable.
Acceptable.
I can't say that word.
He kept saying that. Then they found out that he was lying. Right? He was telling the truth because in his mind he was immunized because of some method he was doing. I say that just to say that nothing of what I think about Aaron Rodgers is because of Big Pharma propaganda. It's because of what he's shown me. You lied to the media so you can play football. You seem like a selfish person. You might not be. I don't know you personally. I'm just going off of what I see. You are the guy who curses out your coaches on the sideline. Like, there's nothing about what I see Aaron Rodgers personality-wise that says, all right, that's a good guy. I want to hang out with him. I'm not blaming Big Pharma for the way that I feel about him. This is all stuff that I've gathered on my own. So I just think it's typical of Aaron Rodgers, man. It does not surprise me. And Aaron Rodgers, he might be smarter than me. He might be knowing what he's doing. We're talking about him on Seattle Sports 710. He ain't thinking about us, but we're talking about him. Maybe it's all part of the plan from Aaron Rodgers. But when I saw this story, I go, yeah, it doesn't surprise me at all.
Second down. Poor Patrick Mahomes. He's dealing with a high ankle sprain, but guess what? He's actually a full participant in practice yesterday. You were convinced previously that a hobbled Pat Mahomes would change the outcome of this weekend's AFC Championship game. How are you feeling now?
I'm not feeling so good, Stace. I'm not feeling so good because I saw this man at his press conference.
You were sounding confident about
the
angle.
I was. I'm like, Joe Burrow, let's get it. Get my Cincinnati jersey on.
How much has changed in 24 hours?
Hey, oh my gosh,
you
it's crazy.
You saw Mahomes walk off that stage.
He walked off the stage. He was on his toes. He was bouncing around. I'm like, man, he looks good. But you know he's putting on a show. He knows that we're all watching him, right? And then he was a full participant at practice. So then I started digging a bit more on Twitter. I got to see what he looked like in practice. They're not going to actually show you footage of him practicing, but they're going to show you him warming up. And he's warming up, and he looks a bit ginger. I go, oh, he don't look like the guy that I saw at the press conference. The thing that messed me up, though, Stacey, he jogs over to his coach. That jog does nothing for me because it's an awkward jog, even when he's healthy. I'm just like, I don't know what I'm looking at. I don't know what I'm looking at.
He always does this weird, like, he jogs as though he's got, you know when people have weights on their wrists? And they do, like, a walking jog around the neighborhood? Like, you know, you ever been to the mall in the morning?
Yeah. Speed walking, yeah.
Mall walkers. That's what he does.
There's a lot of hips when he jogs. You know what I'm saying? A lot of hip action. But what he has done before in 2019, he played on a high ankle sprain. He threw for 400 yards and two touchdowns. He also played on turf toe in 2020. So we know that the dude is tough. I'm going to have to see it, though. First two series, I'm going to be watching this man. Are you really pushing off that back foot? Can you move in that pocket? But today, on January 26th, I'm not as confident as I was on the 25th, Stacey.
Noted. Third down. Who on the Seahawks staff is a guy you absolutely, positively need to keep around?
During the preseason, there was a unit that was ranked the worst in the NFL. First, you have a quarterback who's a fifth-tier quarterback, a tier by himself. And then you have a unit that was ranked 32nd in the NFL. That's that offensive line. They got all the way up to rank number 11 in the NFL. They had a 63% pass block rate. That's number 8 in the NFL. I look at Andy Dickerson and I say, you got to keep this dude. He has 17 years experience in the NFL. He was a run coordinator, assistant O-line coach over there with the Los Angeles Rams 2012 through 2020. I guess there was St. Louis for some of that. He was a run game coordinator in 2021 for the Seahawks, and then he's the O-line coach in 2020. McVay is looking to replenish his staff right now. And I'm reading articles coming out of L.A., and they say, look, he might be looking to be a run-heavy type coordinator type of dude. And I'm looking at Andy Dickerson, and I'm saying, familiarity. Sean McVay's probably looking at him saying, look, man, you want more responsibility? You want a little bit more money? You want to come back to sunny Southern California? This is a guy that you need to keep. He was integral when teaching the right and left tackle, the new rookies. And then I saw something that says Abe Lucas was ranked the highest rookie tackle of all of last year. All of last year. This guy was drafted in, what, the third or fourth round or something like that. And you got to look at Andy and say, look, he was a big part of that. So if you want this offense to continue to progress, you want these rookies to continue to progress, I think you got to keep Andy Dickerson. McVay, you stay away. That is our dude.
Fourth down. All right, Bump, tell me an Achilles heel for each team this weekend. Here's what I mean. You would think, look, I love this team, but I'm worried about blank.
All right, let's talk about the Chiefs to start. Love this team. The obvious is Pat Mahomes going to be healthy. But here's something deeper. Third down defense. They allowed the Jags to go 7 for 13 on third down. If they allow Joe and them to go 7 for 13 on third down, it's going to be a long day for them. Now let's go to the Niners. Okay. Will the rookie finally look like a rookie? He did not throw a touchdown last week, but he didn't throw an interception as well. But there's going to be a time during this game where Brock Purdy has to be the guy and make a throw against a really good Philly defense. Go to Philly. Are they physical enough? We know how the Niners play. I understand when you think of Philadelphia, you think of just fans throwing batteries at Santa Claus.
I'm scared. You
think of Rocky, right? You think of
Sandwiches. Yeah.
Kevin Hart.
Yeah.
Will Smith.
Yeah. I mean, clogged arteries. I love Philly. I love it.
Is Philly tough enough on the field to bang with the Niners, man? We know they're going to be physical. Now let's go to the Cincinnati Bengals. Can you protect Joe Burrow? You got a guy over there with Chris Jones for the Kansas City Chiefs, 15 and a half sacks, 17 tackles for loss. He will get after you. Joe Burrow, can you protect him? They got a young offensive line, lots of injuries there. He was banged up a couple years ago, tore his ACL. Now wishing out on him, hope it doesn't happen. But I'm saying, if you can't protect Joe Burrow, you stand no chance. Joe Mix had a good game last week, running the football for over 100 yards. But I don't think you can depend on him like you can depend on Joe Burrow, Jamar Chase, and Higgins.
All right, that was four down territory. Thank you, Bump, for helping us out with kind of like back-to-back previews of that one. We talked about the unsung heroes, two players for each team who could play a major role in their team advancing, and then the Achilles heel for each team. Let's see what's on tap.
This is What's on Tap with Bump and Stacey, brought to you by Dick's Drive-In. So, folks, what's on tap?
Washington State men's basketball taking on number 6, Arizona. Air down at 8 p.m. That game is here on Seattle Sports. Pregame starts at 7:30. All right, what I need to know coming your way in about 20 minutes. We need your questions. Send your question in, any question, sports, non-sports, any sport, any topic. 866-979-3776. Again, that number is 866-979-3776. Get your questions in now. Coming up next, heading to the station for Hype Train.
Live from the Alaska Airlines Studio, this is Seattle Sports Station. You're listening to Bump and Stacy,
powered by Kitsap Credit Union.
Got to turn my mic on. Pro move.
That's an important thing to do in radio.
People don't realize that, but one of the most important things you can do in radio is turn your mic on. This hour of Bump and Stacy is brought to you by Mazda of Everett. As a reminder, you guys, you can listen to the Bump and Stacy podcast. It is the podcasted version of our show. I would love, for the three of us to sit down and just talk for an extra 30 minutes. But what you're going to get instead is 4 hours of content, including interviews, just conversations we're having, lots of fun. Every Tuesday and Thursday, we do Hype Train, all kinds of stuff. It'll be available on your phone, wherever you get your podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, Apple Podcasts. most especially if you are using Apple Podcasts. Please make sure you are rating and reviewing. It makes a huge difference for us, and we would so appreciate it if you are a regular consumer, if you wouldn't mind just hopping on there and leaving a 5-star review. Super easy. All right, so thank you to everyone in advance for doing
good
that
job.
One. Let's head to for saying 5 stars.
Yeah, yes, good job.
I'm improving.
Yes, thank you, Stacey.
I'm trying to be more assertive. All right, let's head to the station for Hype Train. All right, here's how it works. I send you a trend, a prediction in the world of sports this week, and if you agree with it, you're boarding the train. If you do not agree with it, well, it's because it's nothing but a hype train, and you are letting that one go on by. So I'm getting started, of course, with the playoffs. Of course I am. We're going to see a lot of great run games. Of course, you got Christian McCaffrey. Outside of Christian McCaffrey, you got Elijah Mitchell. The 49ers are a great running offense. You've got Philadelphia, obviously, with Jalen Hurts. And you've mentioned
Boston Scott. What a
great
name.
Bump, you've mentioned Kenneth Gainwell as a guy you got your eye on. You've got Pacheco with the Chiefs. But the most rushing yards of the weekend will belong to Joe Mixon of the Bengals. Bump, are you boarding this train?
Oh, man, you just said a lot. Miles Sanders, you got Christian McCaffrey, and you said Joe Mixon's going to be the guy.
Mixon will be the leading rusher. Any quarterback, any running back.
Nah, I'm not on that train. I'm not on that train.
All right.
There's too many guys for him to leapfrog, man. The Philadelphia Eagles have a good rushing attack. They got three guys over there who can get it done. You got the 49ers who got two guys who can get it done. You got the Chiefs who have Pacheco in the backfield doing his thing. I think Joe Mixon will have a solid performance, but not enough to overcome those guys.
All right, Curtis, the hype train is that one Joe Mixon, running back for the Bengals, will be the leading rusher this weekend. You got a lot of choices, including quarterbacks. Bump is not boarding this train. Are you?
I'm not going to board it either. I think it'll be Miles Sanders that is your leading rusher this week of all four teams. I think he's going to go over 100 yards. I think the Eagles beat the 49ers. I really do. The Eagles have been just so impressive start to finish this season. I'm going Miles Sanders as your leading rusher, so I will not board this train.
I'm going to board this train. I am.
Contrarian.
I know. I'm being a little bit of a contrarian. I also I love some of the Chiefs defenders. I think that they don't get enough credit for some of the guys they have, including, you mentioned him yourself, Bump, Chris Jones, who's absolutely phenomenal, nominee for Defensive Player of the Year. And yet people look at the Chiefs and they think Mahomes, Kelsey. They think Andy Reid before they probably think of some defenders on that team. I think that these defensive players are going to be great at attacking the line of scrimmage, trying to get to Burrow. I think, though, that they may be leaving some gaps open, and you may have some breakdowns in coverage. I potentially see an opportunity for Joe Mixon. And, yeah, to be totally honest, Curtis, I am being a little bit of a contrarian. So I'm going to say yes. This is my hype train. Someone needs to board it. All right, next train into the station. All right, we talked about Pete Carroll not being a nominee for Coach of the Year. This is the hype train. Not only should Pete be a nominee, Pete Carroll should have won Coach of the Year.
Oh, man, there are a lot of good names out there.
A lot of good candidates.
A lot of good names. Kyle Shanahan, you got McDermott, you got Sirianni, you got Dable, you have Doug Peterson. Am I missing anybody? I think that's it. What Doug Peterson has done in Jacksonville is probably the most impressive to me. Not only were you trying to save the career of a young quarterback with a lot of promise in Trevor Lawrence, you were trying to change that culture over there. And it's hard to do it within a year. You got talent on that roster. I love what Doug Peterson has done over there. Just because of Doug Peterson alone, I'm going to say, nah, Pete Carroll should not have won it. But he should be in the mix. He should be on all the graphics. We should be talking about him. There should be a picture of him chewing gum fiercely with a jacket on. And we are praising him on Twitter.
All right. The hype train is that Pete Carroll should be Coach of the Year. Are you boarding? Curtis, are you boarding?
Oh, am I boarding? Just asking the general population.
Yeah.
Are you boarding?
No. Are you?
I am not going to board for the exact same reason the bump is. I think Doug Peterson,
once again, we got an empty
has done the best job of the five in terms of just preseason expectations. And where they ended up. I mean, they got all the way to the divisional round a year after getting the number one pick and just being the complete laughingstock of the NFL. Like, there was no other team that we looked at in the 2021 season and said, like, they're worse off than the Jags. Like, Jacksonville was it. They were so bad.
Yeah.
And now, you look at their trajectory, you've got Trevor Lawrence, who was great in year two. You've got Doug Peterson, a previous Super Bowl winning head coach. Travis Etienne was healthy this season. Things are looking up. You got Trevon Walker, another number one overall pick on that team. Like, Jacksonville in the AFC South is going to be a team that, as the Titans are falling here, Jacksonville seems like they're going to be on top of that division for a few more seasons. So I am going to say Doug Peterson is the coach of the year.
I'm also not boarding this train. It's not because I don't think, much like you guys, that Killing Pete Carroll deserves. I know that Pete Carroll deserves to be a nominee. He absolutely does. I think this is one of his best jobs as a head coach, especially considering that Pete Carroll, over his tenure, whether it's in college, whether it's in the pros, and yes, I know with the Jets he wasn't especially successful, nor with New England, but he doesn't have a lot of experience with losing teams. I think that in a lot of ways this season might have been new for him as well, and I think he embraced it beautifully. That being said, I do think Dable, you know, they got around further. They dealt with losing records for longer. He had a weapon in Daniel Jones that most people had given up on, and I think was a worse weapon at quarterback than many other successful playoff teams. So I think not only is Dable going to get it, but I think it's a pretty fair choice for Coach of the Year. Still, get Pete's name in there, man. How do you not have his name in there? It's absolutely ridiculous. Next hype train into the stadium. A little controversial. I'm trying to figure out how to frame it, okay?
Are we going to get canceled for it?
We're not going to get canceled. Oh, now, I don't know. I don't know how many people would argue that Dak Prescott is not the reason the Cowboys lost. I mean, when you can't find the end zone consistently, when you're throwing interceptions, especially a red zone interception, sorry, but, you know, it ends with you. That's how it goes. However, I think that there are people that are going to argue that Dak is still great. So this one's a bit of a double negative. Listen carefully. The hype train is that Dak Prescott is not the Cowboys' answer.
Dak Prescott is not the Cowboys' answer.
So boarding would be like, yeah, I don't think he's the guy to take them to the promised land.
Yeah, I don't think Cowboys have been to the promised land since 87. You know what I mean? I mean, actually, like 94, 95. I'm just exaggerating, folks. I know. Don't come for me. So, no, he's not the answer. Not to get to the Super Bowl, I don't think. I think that it's going to be someone else. I think there is the Jimmy Johnson curse lives. And until Jimmy Johnson gives the Cowboys their blessing or his blessing, it ain't going down, man. It might take 100 years like the Red Sox to get rid of this one, man.
All right, Curtis, the hype train, I framed it weirdly, is that Dak Prescott is not the Cowboys' answer.
I feel like prior to the season, the biggest thing that held Dallas back was their coaching. Like, they haven't really had a great head coach since Bill Parcells or somebody like that. Jason Garrett was never it. Mike McCarthy's first season in Dallas was very up and down, where people were questioning whether he would be back for year two. They looked better this season. It's interesting because Dak was so overlooked early on in his career, where people were like, oh my gosh, they found, you know, some guy out of the fourth round. Yeah. Like, he was underrated at that point. And now he's gotten to a point where I think he's a little overrated. And I think a large part of that is what he's making in his contract. He's making over $40 million coming into next season. That's going to be really tough for the Cowboys to make work. But I am not going to board this train because Tony Pollard's injury in that 49ers game, if he's healthy throughout that game, they're not having to give the ball to the corpse of Ezekiel Elliott and what remains of his career. That guy is cooked, and that was a big reason why Dallas couldn't get anything going on offense. I think if Tony Pollard's healthy and ready to go next season, Dallas is still among the contenders in the NFC. Yes, Dak did not play incredibly well, but look, they don't get to that round without his incredible performance against the Bucs.
I hope Tony Pollard is back and healthy, man. Guys, he had a heck of a year, and I hate the way it ended for him with having to have surgery for a broken fibula. It's just, oh, man. And he's a free agent. They better bring him back. All right. What I need to know is coming your way next, and we need your questions. Send any and all questions. Literally anything. I mean, sports questions are always great. We love getting those. This is a sports talk show, so we're going to try to incorporate it in every single segment, no matter what. But some of my favorites are non-sports questions, so include one or two of those. I always love having them. What I need to know, 866-979-3776. It's coming your way next.
Live from the Alaska Airlines Studio, this is Seattle Sports Station. You're listening to Bump and Stacy.
Powered by Kitsap Credit Union.
All right, it's What I Need to Know. Get your questions in, 866-979-3776. What I Need to Know, Bump, we got one just for you. On kickoff special teams, did you prefer being on the return side or on kickoff coverage?
Come on now, you know I want to get jiggy with the ball in my hands.
Oh.
It's all about the return game. I remember the first time they put me on kickoff cover was against the Chicago Bears in a preseason game. I ain't tackled nobody since high school. I'm like, what am I doing out here? And I missed the tackle, but I did my job. But there's nothing like a big return. Nothing like it.
Yeah. Stacy, you are mildly attractive in a kind of geeky, goofy way. Okay. Have you ever considered playing the field while Brian's off being in Space Doctor? Get out of here, creep. But no, Brian and I are very serious, and we love each other. And, you know, I think he could propose soon, you guys.
Whoa.
Really?
It's breaking news.
I know. Like, I feel
Like a space rock on the ring?
I would love that. Yeah. I would absolutely love that. What I need to know. Question for this weekend. Will the rule hold that you don't win or even get to a Super Bowl with a highly paid quarterback? Mahomes is the only highly paid quarterback left. Will be interesting to see if the Chiefs make it to the Super Bowl.
I wouldn't mind seeing it, but I think that Joe Burrow in the game is going to get it done. The thing that scares me is that Mahomes looks like he is more healthy than I thought he was going to be. So for the sake of argument, I think I said it, a couple segments ago, that I'd like to see Mahomes get there just to prove that rule wrong for once.
Yes. I don't know if you guys are going to remember your answer to this. Get ready to dig into the history of your dating lives. From Jeff and SeaTac, what's the most expensive date you've ever gone on?
Oh, my second date with my wife. I spent money I did not have.
Like a credit card?
Yeah, so I got my first credit card, and I'm like, oh,
no!
I'm doing it big.
It's already a mistake.
She flies out to L.A., then we drive to Palm Springs. Then we go to this resort called Miramonte, and I didn't realize what the limit was on my credit card.
Oh.
I get there, and it's maxed out.
No.
I call my uncle. I go, look, man, I got a girl. I'm going to marry this girl. Like, I need you to bail me out. Thankfully, sent me the credit card information, and I was tricking like I had it, but I didn't have it.
A credit card or card of any kind
canceled.
Getting declined or canceled gives me so much anxiety.
Because
we've all been there where you're like, your heart's racing, and you're looking at it. It's like, it's taking a while to say it's approved. Let's go. Oh, God. You know what, though? It worked out.
Exactly. It worked out.
Yeah. I like knowing that the story ends with you guys actually getting married.
That's probably when you knew that Jen was the one, because she was still down.
She waited in the car for like an hour for me to figure this out.
Wow.
That's love. She was the one. For Bump and Curtis, how many dash alert lights are currently on Stacy's car? Over, under 2.5? What's a 2.5? I do have one light on, but I don't know what it means.
Uh-oh. You got to consult your owner's manual.
Yeah, I don't know where that is.
Or you can do a quick Google search.
Google, that's what I do.
YouTube have changed the car maintenance game more than anything ever, because you can YouTube search literally any fix on your car and be like, how do I change the oil on my 2004 Cadillac? Make and model, you will find a YouTube video on how to do it.
It's almost ruined some really good debates. Isn't there someone, it's like this famous line of like, Seinfeld wouldn't exist if being able to Google things on your phone
probably
was a thing, because these huge debates that like launched the show. I don't know. I've never
There was a former radio host in this town that once said Google was the worst thing to happen to his career because he couldn't just make up stats on the spot.
Oh, God.
People could then look it up after the fact and be like, dude, you're wrong. Why would you say that?
I love the idea of making up stats on the spot, though. I'm gonna start doing more of that. All right. What I need to know. You guys have both played fantasy football. Curtis, you do more fantasy baseball. Bump, I know you do fantasy football. Have you guys ever had a really cool fantasy football name? Mine was Along Came Pollard, since I won the fantasy championship this year with him. Oh, good for you.
I like that.
Yeah.
Mine I stole from my friend in a different league. It was good. I'm like, yeah, I'm taking that. It was, and it might even be that unique, honestly. I'm just not in that world. But Pour One for My Homies.
Aha! That's a good one.
That's a good one. I never had a really, really funny one. Unfortunately, I'm very sorry. I also am really, really bad at fantasy football. It's, I don't need to keep talking about this. What I need to know, more likely to end up as a Jet, Aaron Rodgers, Geno Smith, or Lamar Jackson? I like that question. That's a good one.
A-Rod. Relationships, connections. Nathaniel Hackett.
Baseball. Diamond. Yeah, I think if Geno did not have a history with the Jets, I would say Geno. Because I'd say their owner has already come out to say, we are not afraid to spend on a free agent. Quarterback is the missing piece for us, and we want to go get that guy. The Jets are the team that, in my mind, I think about as being a competitor for Geno's services. But I'm like, what is that relationship? How does the past relationship affect what could be a future one for them and Geno? I don't know. That's weird.
I know.
All right. That will do it for What I Need to Know. And that's going to do it for Bump and Stacey today. We'll be back with you guys tomorrow at 10 a.m. doing a little more of a preview for the championship round of the playoffs. For Michael Bumpus, for Curtis Rogers, I'm Stacey Ross. Don't go anywhere. Wyman and Bob coming your way next.